All right. It's good to be back. It's winter time now, though. It was hot last time I was here. So it was good. It's interesting because last time I didn't preach last time I was here. It was kind of like a double booking. And it was interesting because I racked my brain all weekend on like what I was going to preach. And all week too. And I couldn't land anywhere. Like literally, I'm like, man, Beth, like, I don't know what I'm going to preach. God usually gives me a word at least by Thursday at the latest. And then I can, you know, spend some time studying and preparing. And sure enough, I studied all day Friday. I studied all day Saturday, all night Saturday. And I'm like, Beth, like, I haven't landed yet. This is going to be interesting. So he's going to do one of those, I give you a message as soon as you get there. And, you know, he's done that maybe one other time. And I'm like, it was exciting and it went well, but I'm like, uh-oh, God. So I'm coming up Paulding because I live out northeast. And I heard in my spirit, all things work together for the good, you know. I'm like, all right, cool. So that's where I'm preaching from. So I'm thinking in my mind, I'm like, hey, I can preach there in my sleep, you know. And I'm preparing my mind. I'm outlining as I'm driving up, pausing. I'm like, okay, I'm good to go. And I show up, and Chris is mic'd up. And Mrs. Yoder was, you know, like, oh, we double booked. I'm like, oh, it's no problem because I didn't have anything to say. So, you know, it really worked out for the good. And but God also was instructive throughout that situation for me, because here I was thinking like I was disconnected from God. I'm like, God, man, I can't hear you. There's some sin in my life, so I'm going over all of these different things. I'm like, man, maybe Beth's upset with me, my wife. I don't know what's going on. And he reassured me. He was like, no, it wasn't your time to teach. So that's why you didn't have a word. So I really felt that connection. So that was a great experience for me. I'll carry that scenario with me probably forever because I was racking my brain. And now we're here this morning. And Chris, once again, the Spirit. I mean, God has me in the wilderness with the Israelites right now as well. So I'm going to be coming from Exodus today. And I've been studying the life of Moses for a while now. His life has been instructive to me, but I'm still at the very beginning of that. He's 80 where I'm at today, so it's not really the beginning, but it kind of is because he had a whole another 40, I think, in where you were at. So, but I always try to find myself in the message. And God has really been working with me in this season because there's a lot going on in our society today. A lot of changes, a lot of things that are the same, that should be changing, but they aren't. I frequented social media, being on the cusp of being a Generation Xer and a millennial. You know, I frequent the social media, and I found myself probably a couple months ago like really immersed in the arguments that were going on, you know, surrounding President Trump and the kneeling, all the different issues that we're facing as a nation, possible war, you know, and having served in the military myself and actually served in a war myself, I know how devastating the impact can be, not only for the nation, but for individual lives. Here and abroad. So, you know, I've kind of been on edge with what's going on. And I found myself having to withdraw from social media probably at least almost a month ago, especially the discussions, and because they weren't fruitful. And, you know, they weren't in keeping with what God wants from Christians. He wants us to be salt and light in the world. And if the conversation or the relationship isn't going to move in that direction, then, you know, we have to withdraw. So that's where I've been past several weeks. I've kind of been withdrawn a little bit. You know, I took some time to immerse myself in my work. Took some time to spend with the kids. And that's all great. But I still feel this tension inside me. God wants me to spend time with my family. He wants me to work faithfully and diligently. But He's also called me to something more, something greater. And each one of us who know Christ, He's called each one of us to something greater. I've been doing a lot of this on my own. Unfortunately, God is always blessing me. He's always carrying me through. Well, you know, a lot of what's been going on, I've been focusing on me. I've been focusing on my goals. I've been focusing on my strength. I've been focusing on, okay, my plans. And, you know, as I've had this time to withdraw from all the noise out here in the world, I've really got a chance to really focus on what God wants for Andre to do with this next season of his life. And it makes me nervous. Has anybody ever been nervous? When you feel God tugging on you and you feel like He's about to transition you into a different place, it's kind of, I get nervous. And I know God, like, all things work together for the good, but God usually stretches us beyond our comfort zones. And honestly, wintertime is time to pack it in, right, and kind of just snuggle and love on your family. But I'm like, God's like, no, it's not time for that for you. So get ready. So that's where I am. And maybe you can relate to that, you know. I feel like I've gotten off track. Once again, I continue to confess sin and seek God, but I feel like I've lost a sense of purpose and direction, specifically involving the ministry. And as I look around for the church, I've been disappointed. I'm not going to lie. I've been disappointed in the church as a whole, the Big C Church, myself included in that, in how we've responded to what's happening in the world today. There's a place for prayer, and there's a place for action, you know, as well. So what that looks like, I don't know. I know when I read Acts, God gives us some examples on how to respond and how to grow His church and His kingdom, which He does, but he asks us to join Him in this. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to look at what God has to say to those of us who maybe feel isolated. Maybe we feel that we lost direction. Maybe we feel like we're in this whirlwind and there's all these different issues in the world that we care about, but we don't actually know like what to do about them, so we kind of just withdraw. We stay to ourselves. You know, God doesn't want us to put His light under a lampshade. He wants us to be out up on a hill, because we are the salt and the light of the earth. So let's pray, and we're going to get into Exodus. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this opportunity to share with the church at Fairhaven. We just expect for You to do what You're good at. That's convict us, to lead us, to guide us, to build us up, to strengthen us. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would guide me as Your teacher. Help me to say the words that You want me to say. Help me to decrease so that You may increase. Help me to teach it plainly so that they may understand. Prepare our hearts and minds to receive it. We thank You. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, I'm like really, really at the very beginning of Exodus. And, you know, I've been studying it at different phases over the past several months, as I've said before. And bear with me, because the story, you've heard this story before, but I want you to know that there's some powerful meaning. And God hasn't let me leave from this place for a while, so it's good. It's good. So bear with me. And so for those of you who know the story, I have to make sure everybody's at the same place. So I want to kind of open it up on where we are. All right. God allowed His people, the Israelites, to be enslaved in Egypt. That's where they are now. They're enslaved in Egypt. And, you know, this is a kind of like, why, God, why would You allow Your people to be enslaved for 400 years, you know, by a captor that doesn't care about them, you know? And I like what Chris said earlier, sometimes we're not going to have a full explanation as to why God allows things to happen, but we do know that He has a plan to prosper us and not to harm us. He has plans to give us a hope in the future. We know that all things that happen, it works together according to His plan, and that He oversees it all. He understands, He knows, He has power, so we have to rest in that. So they're enslaved, and Pharaoh becomes worried that the Israelites are growing as in number too much. So he orders that the firstborn boys are killed at birth. Then that doesn't work out. So then he starts having them thrown in the Nile River. And we know the story. Moses is spared divinely by God. And it doesn't mention God per se in that specific portion. But I believe that God orchestrated it so that Moses would be found by Pharaoh's daughter. And Moses is brought in to live in that kingdom. And I'm going to fast forward a few years. And Moses, as he gets older, he sees one of his countrymen being attacked. And it stirs up this passion inside of him. And he ends up murdering an Egyptian. And it causes him to flee to a place called Midian. I hope you got notes today, because I'm going to be in teaching mode a little bit today. He flees to this place called Midian. And in Hebrew, the word Midian means strife. So he goes to this desert, and I'm going to fast forward another 40 years. And Moses is now a shepherd. He spends 40 years in Midian. He has a family. He's shepherding the sheep, and he's on the far side, or the west side, or the far side, depending on which version you have, of the desert. And he has these sheep. And God appears to him. And God appears to him with a specific purpose. He's calling Moses to accomplish a specific mission. God, way back in Genesis, we see that God told Abraham that God's people, the Israelites, one day they will be enslaved in the nation. And in 400 years, I'm going to set them free. So Moses is a part of this larger picture. I want you to keep this in mind as I keep teaching. There's a microcosm and there's a macrocosm. There's a big picture and then there's a small picture. And what we have to get good at, saints, is that we have to get good at zooming in and zooming out. Sometimes God wants us to focus on us, our individual selves and what we're doing, but other times He wants us to zoom out and like take a broader look, a broader perspective on what's going on. And sometimes your frustration may be linked to the fact that you have the wrong perspective. We're going to look at Moses' perspective to the call, and we're going to look at God's perspective. And it's going to get good. It's going to get good. I'm telling you, it's going to get good. I felt, as we were worshiping, I wanted to say something like, be free. I don't know like what's bothering you. I don't know if there's something specific that's there. I don't know if you're sleepy. I don't know if you have issues. I don't know if it's financial. I don't know if it's emotional. I don't know where you are. But in this hour, in this time, be free. Be free during this time to really just lay it all on the table. Lay it down before God, because He's going to instruct Moses to do the same thing. We're going to be at Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to go to Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 real quick. And Moses, he's on the far side of the desert. He has this past. He's running from these things that happened in his past. He's 80 years old. He probably thinks his life is pretty much over. I'm just going to live out my life. I'm good. I got my wife, I got my kids, all right? I got a good job. It's a hard job, but it's a good job. It's an important job, all right? And he's out here. It says verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1, it says, and I'm reading from the New King James, so it says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire. but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. A couple things I want to take out of this portion of Scripture. Notice, if you have your Bibles, that in verse 2, it says the angel of the Lord. Now, when you're reading through your Bible, there's some different names that God goes by. Okay, so right here we have the Lord is spelled capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. All right, and that's a little bit different from where you read Lord and it's lowercase L, capital L, lowercase O R D. It's different. It's different in the Hebrew. All right. And it's different from God, the word God, which is Elohim in the Hebrew. So right here, I'm going to slowly introduce you to why and when you see capital O-L-O-R-D. I'm going to just give you a sneak peek. This is the personal God. When you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, God is revealing himself. Not just as the creator of the universe, not just the one who has all power, not just the one who sees everything and knows everything and who is omnipresent, but the one who is personal. He has a personal relationship. He has a personal stake in your success. That's who God is revealing himself as here. In the Hebrew, it's Yahweh or Yahweh. So we're going to get into like how God begins to manifest. And as we get further in the Exodus, we're going to see that God has something very special. Not only is he's not just calling Moses, he's preparing Moses for something very special. And I want you to be Moses. I want you to be him. Or maybe you're the Israelites. Maybe you're in bondage. Maybe you feel like you're trapped and you're just going in circles and you're going in. You get up. You go to work. Like Groundhog Day. Anybody seen the movie Groundhog Day? It's an old movie. Some of the young people are like, what? You know, you wake up. Get dressed, go to work, drive home, eat dinner, watch your show, go to sleep. And you just go in this cycle, and it seems like no matter how hard you try to get out of this cycle, you can't get out of this cycle. Maybe you're there. Or maybe you're like me and Moses, and I'm like, God, I know you want me to do something. I know you had big plans for me, but I'm like, man, God, I feel like I'm out of step. So verse 4 says, so when Moses saw that the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And God says, wait a second, before you come over here, don't get too close because you're on holy ground. God is about to establish a relationship with Moses. He's laying the ground rules. Yes, I have appeared before you, but know that I'm holy. And don't come near this place. So God is establishing this relationship. And he says, Moses, I've heard the cry of my people. I've been listening to them. I see the oppression that they're experiencing in Egypt. God hears all of our concerns. He hears all of our pains. He hears this. And he said, Moses, I'm about to send you back and I want you to bring them out. And I put myself in Moses' shoes, and I'm like, wait a minute. Even though it was 40 years ago, I killed somebody back there. Everybody has a past. Everybody, no matter how much we want to erase it, we want to hide it. You know, even though we know we're forgiven, sometimes we feel like our past is just, we're just stuck with it. Well, today I'm going to introduce you to a redeemer and a deliverer who uses you in spite of your past, who uses you in spite of your abilities, who uses you in spite of the circumstances that you're in. And he meets Moses here, and he says, Moses, this is what I'm about to do. I'm about to take my people out of this land and give them the land that was promised to them. That's being inhabited right now by massive armies and massive cities. I'm going to take you into this land, and you're going to be, you're my chosen leader. Now, when I first received my call into the ministry back in 2010, really it was 2008. It wasn't until 2010 where I actually acknowledged, you know, okay, I'm going to go ahead and do this thing. And I felt I was overwhelmed with the weight. I was overwhelmed with the weight of what God was calling me to do, and I had all of these excuses. And Moses had some excuses too. Let's drop down to chapter 3, verse 11. Let's look at what Moses says, because I had similar excuses. And when God calls you, because I got a feeling that someone in here, that God is calling you to do something. It may not be, He may not be calling you to do what I'm doing. God calls us to all types of different ministries. Verse 11 says, this is what Moses said. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Who am I? Moses was having an identity crisis right now. He's like, wait a minute, God. Like, I'm just a shepherd. I murdered somebody back there. And I know he's fearful. He's fearful right now. So he's pulling the best. Like, God, you had to have chosen the wrong one. Who am I to go? Why would the Pharaoh listen to me? But God had a response to that. God's response to Moses and his response to me and his response to each one of us when he calls us to do it. It doesn't matter who you are. I'm with you. That's what his name means. I'm going to get into this name, Yahweh. And it say, he says, it doesn't matter who you are. I'm with you. Look at verse 12. It says, so he said, I will certainly be with you. And this sign shall be to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. I love God because God is in the present, but He's always talking about the future. He said, when you get to this mountain and you start serving me at this mountain, that's going to be the sign that I sent you. If I'm Moses, I'm like, wait a second, God. What about in between? What about all the stuff that's supposed to happen in between there? It's going to be great that we're on this mountain and everything, but I kind of need something else. And Moses came up with another excuse. Verse 13 says, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel to say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? So now Moses is asking, who are you? First he said, who am I? Now he's like, look, I just met you, God. You know, this is all great and I'm all blown away. Nice trick. You know, you got the bush burning and everything and it's not burning. You know what I'm saying? But when I go back, no, it's not going to be any burning bush there. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to be any voice speaking out of this bush here. And they're just going to be looking at me. They're going to look at me and they're going to say, who is this God? What is his name? Oh man, this is a huge, like one of the biggest, most debated issues in Scripture. You know, what is this I am that I am? God responds. He says, I am who I am. I am who I am. Moses felt incapable of really describing God, and I still feel that way. Like, man, God, you want me to get up here and like describe this? Wow, okay. But God says, I am every, I'm a paraphrase it. God says, I am everything you need. Not only will am I certainly with you, he's focused on his identity. He's like, don't worry about that, I'm with you. He said, all right, now when I start talking about you and I say that you, who is you? He said, I am. Tell them that I am sent you. I was like, oh, this is kind of ambiguous, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, what do you mean, God? He said, I am everything you need. It's I am dot dot dot. I am your comforter. I am your counselor. I am your strength. I am your all in all. Like whatever is needed in the given moment, I am He. I love when Jesus said that in the New Testament. He's like, even before Abraham was, I am. So it's that link. And then when I think about this thing, I'm like, that's Jesus? Like, ooh, it's getting good to me. You know, it's really getting good to me that Jesus is right there in the midst of it all. Way before we knew anything, but anybody knew anything about Jesus. And as I read through the New Testament, how Jesus handled business when he was in a body, I'm like, oh, he ain't in the body. I know Jesus can do it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, all right, let's go. Let's go. And Moses, but he still had doubts. He's like, but what if they don't listen? He said, oh, that's okay. God said, that's okay. If they don't listen, when I get done, they'll listen. What do you mean? Let's drop down to chapter 4, verse 1. Let's drop down to chapter 4, verse 1. Right now we're looking at the call that God puts on Moses. Like he's calling Moses, and Moses, he has these doubts. He's doubting his identity. He's doubting whether he can describe God effectively. And now he says, well, God, okay, say I can describe you, and then what if they just don't straight up just don't listen? What if they say they're not going? God says, don't worry, I have a sign that I'm going to give them. And in verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1, it says, then Moses answered and said, suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. There's that capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. This is the personal God, Yahweh or Yahweh. This is the one who sees everything and he wants to meet specific needs. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? What is that in your hand, my brother? This is rhetorical. This is the Bible. What is that in your hand? What is that in your hand? Moses is out there in the middle of a desert with his sheep, and he has the instrument of his profession. Doesn't matter if it was a rod with a crook in it or not. He had this rod. He had this pole. And God said, what is that in your hand? And Moses said, it's a rod. It's a rod. Now, I want you to think about your profession. I want you to think about what it is that you do, that you've been doing all your life. Things you're good at. Things that you enjoy. Things that you provide. Things that you support people with. It could be mental. It could be physical. When God calls you, He's going to use something very specific that you are very accustomed to. To the naked eye, it's just a rod. To the naked eye, it's just a rod. I see your ingenuity online. I see your hustle. I see your grind. God is going to use that supernaturally when you do what Moses did. This is what Moses did with the rod. It's deep now. I'm telling you, he said it's a rod. And he said, God said, cast it on the ground. Cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent and Moses fled from it. Now look at this. Now it's a lot of symbolism. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 15 verse 4 that everything that was written in the Old Testament is given to us as an example so that we can live and be fruitful in this current time in our lives. But use this as an example. Moses had a rod, but what is it that you have? When God calls you, take that thing. The rod was very important. He used it to defend himself from beasts, from snakes, from mountain cats and different things. He used it to guide and steer the sheep. He used it to divide. He used it to do all he... I probably use this for support because he's in a mountainous region. And if you've ever been in a mountainous region, even me as a young man when I was in the infantry, I wanted a walking stick. He used it to lean on. What is it that you use all the time? To you, it may just look like a rod. It may just be a laptop. It may just be a degree. It may to you be something just so insignificant. Yeah, I use this all the time. But God said, cast it on the ground. Relinquish it to me. Lay it before me, and I will use it for my purposes. And he promises Moses that he's going to give him all of these different signs. He's like, once you get there, don't worry about it. Take this rod, throw it on the ground, boom. It's going to change into a snake. Matter of fact, grab the snake by its tail, which would have been crazy. I don't know if I would have been able to do that one right there. But God is growing Moses. I'm listening as he's growing Moses into this place. He's like, all right, but God, he's not done with the excuses. You would think he would be done, but he says in verse 10, then Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent. Neither before nor since have you spoken to your servant. But I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. God, I'm not a gifted speaker. You want me to go and talk to all of these millions of people and you want me to go and talk to the Pharaoh? I know how these people think. I know how they are. They're not going to listen to me. I'm not eloquent. And I can kind of sense God getting a little, God's response is, I love God. I mean, God is just really so matter of fact sometimes in the way that he communicates. And this is what God said. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? He doesn't stop there. He goes deeper. Like I said, I feel God getting escalated a little bit. He says, or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Now he's getting into all the senses. He's like, you want to talk to me about senses? I made senses, you know. I will cause them to hear the most beautiful voice that was ever spoken. God says, I'm with you. He says, now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what to say. Every excuse that he makes, every direction, God is giving. You have Moses' perspective. Who am I? How do I describe you? What if they don't listen? Well, I'm not a gifted speaker. That's Moses' perspective. God's response gives us the proper perspective into our own circumstances. God will certainly be with you. I've been where you are, brother, with these kids. You know what I'm saying? God's growing you in a specific, unique way with those boys. It's beautiful. God is certainly with you. We got five, man. So got one in college, all the way down to one in the car seat. So, you know, I've been doing this for a while. You know what I'm saying? God is certainly with you. He's going to encourage you. All right? Moses had one more complaint. And this time God gets angry. He had one more. Verse 13. But he said, oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. It seems like Moses is going back to his original argument, who am I? But that's not to me. I reread it late last night, and this is what I think, because God got angry. It says right after that God got angry. It says, so the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he went ahead and allowed Aaron to go with him. But I think God, and this is what I'm guilty of sometimes, I think God got angry because Moses basically was saying, God, you made a mistake. You know what I'm saying? You're making a mistake with me, God. God, wait a minute, I don't make mistakes. You know, God doesn't make mistakes. So when you allow Satan sometimes send messengers to torment us in our minds, like, what about that thing that you did? Remember that? And he'll keep pointing. And that's what he does. That's what his name means. It means accuser. He'll keep accusing you and accusing you. And you'll be like, God, no. You know, that's not. And you'll come up with all of these different excuses. God said, it doesn't matter. I am certainly with you. I will be there to put the words in your mouth. Everything that you need to get the job done, I'm going to make sure that you get it done. Doesn't matter where you are. God doesn't make mistakes. Moses says there's others that have to be better equipped than me. So, eventually God convinces Moses that, okay, I'm going to go ahead and do it. Moses goes back, asks his dad, his father-in-law, for a blessing to go. He packs up his wife. And a lot of times it's difficult because when you obey God, sometimes it gets more difficult. There's highs and there's lows to obedience. You have highs and lows. And if you get trapped and focusing only on the lows, you might think, well, maybe he didn't really call me. Maybe I'm not the one that was supposed to do it. Because Moses, I'm just going to cover him real quick. Moses ran into some highs and lows. He went and talked to dad. Dad, like, yep, go ahead, pack it up. Packs up his wife and kids, puts them on a donkey, trying to imagine all this stuff. And they're headed out. And all of a sudden, I do want to read it for those of you who have your Bibles, because I was confused for a second. If you look at chapter 4, verse... look at verse 22. No. Let's go down to 25. I'm going to go down to chapter 4, verse 25. I mean, this really, I had to read this quite a few times because I didn't quite understand. It says, then Zipporah, this is Moses' wife, took a sharp stone and cut the foreskin of her son and cast it at Moses' feet and said, surely you are a husband of blood to me. I'm like, what? Like, what happened? What happened right here? Why his wife throwing the foreskin at him. You know? Well, what happened, she understood God, I didn't read it, but God had basically gave a threat that said, if Pharaoh doesn't let my firstborn, Israel, go, then I'm going to kill his firstborn. And really what he meant was all the firstborns in Egypt. So Zipporah, knowing Moses is God, because they were related cousins, they were distant cousins, you know what I'm saying, she understood that each male had to be circumcised. And so now, because Moses decided to take this mission, and God had made this promise, she knew that she had to circumcise her son. Sometimes, when God calls you into this new mission, those closest to you are going to feel it. It might hurt. It might cause them to do some things that they don't want to do. It may put them in an uncomfortable circumstance. This is his wife, and this is his son. And I'm like, I don't know. I probably wouldn't have cried at that point in time, but it would have hurt my feelings, you know. Because this is my wife, this is my son, and God has called me to this. But he keeps moving, and he goes back, and he meets with the elders, and he meets with the leaders of the Hebrews. And guess what? They were excited. They worshiped God. They praised God. They're like, yeah, you're about to set us free. Everything is good. And then the next day, Moses goes and sees Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, no, you lost your mind. I'm not letting you go. Who is God? I don't know this Yahweh. Pharaoh thought he was God. He thought he was the only begotten son. These pharaohs thought that they were literally the begotten son of God. And he was like, I'm not letting you go. I don't know any Yahweh. Matter of fact, since you're coming to me, asking me to go, you lazy servants, I'm going to take this. Y'all too busy. Y'all being busybody. So I'm going to take the straw away from you, and which is used to make their bricks. And you're going to have to still meet the quota that I've set for you, but I'm going to make your life harder. And the word trickles down. And not only does he take the straw away from them, the taskmasters become more fierce, and they start beating the Hebrews, and they fear for their lives. And they come back to Moses. They're like, Moses, man, what in the world is going on? I thought you said that God was going to be with us. I thought you said that God was going to take us to this promised land. They just took the straw from us, and now they're going to kill us. Verse 20, then as they came out from Pharaoh, they go back to Pharaoh, pleading, Pharaoh, the Hebrews. Then they came out from Pharaoh, they met Moses and Aaron, who stood there to meet them, and they said to them, let the Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hands to kill us. And I'm about to close this out, because it's about to get good, because God is good. He has a call for each one of our lives. He called Moses. There were some highs and lows to the obedience. Moses, once he got done making his excuses, he's like, okay, I'm going to be obedient. Can anybody relate to that? The highs and lows of obedience. You can relate to that, son? That's good. It means I'm doing my job. Okay? But now, because they had some lows, God reassures. Here comes God's reassurance. And oh man, his reassurance is good. His reassurance is good. So we're going to flip on over there to Exodus chapter 6. His reassurance is good. No. Let's go up a few verses before that, so I can give a little context. Let's go to chapter 5, verse 22. And some of us don't respond like Moses responded. Some of us stop right there at that second phase. If it was phases, the call comes, okay, and we have some doubts. We feel inadequate. The inadequacy that you feel is normal. That's good. God wants you to know that you can't do it by yourself. You can. But once you get too far in saying that I'm not going because I feel inadequate, that's when you start to run into some trouble. So then he obeys and he experiences the highs and lows. Most of us, most people, they stop right there. Change is difficult. Usually it gets harder. Like, say you make a decision to change. I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to start eating right. I'm going to eat fruits and vegetables, and I'm going to eat lean cuts of meat, and I'm going to go work out 5 days a week. Boom. Wrote down my goal. Good to go. Change is difficult. God built it in our brains so that we can't make life-altering changes very quickly. He could put this mechanism in our mind where it takes a little effort. And so the highs and lows, expect that in the obedience. Expect that in the phase that God is about to move you into. But you can't give up. And every time you're in one of those lows, don't do what Moses did. Don't do what Moses did. You know what Moses did? He focused on himself. God sent me here today to tell you that when you're in one of those lows, it's time to zoom out and see everything from God's perspective. He said, I'm certainly with you. He said, I am who I am. Whoever you need in a time of trouble, that's who I am. He said, zoom out of those circumstances. I know it looks like things are just collapsing, but just keep focused on what I've set down before you, and I am going to be there with you. God, I don't know what to say. I'm going to teach you what to say. God, I don't know what to think. God, I'm going to teach you what to think. God, but I need a plan. I'm going to lay out this plan. If you go back and read through, he laid out a specific step-by-step plan for Moses. He gave it all to him. So then God reassures, and some of us, When your family, your wife done threw the foreskin at you, now all the people done came against you, guess what Moses does? He goes back to God. That's key. He goes back to God and he's real with God. He's real with him. Look at verse 22, chapter 5, verse 22. He said, Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? God, why are you bringing trouble on me? Why is it that you sent me? Here you go again. God, I told you that I wasn't the one. I told you that this was going to happen. I'm 80 years old. For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people. And then he got kind of bold. I was ready to almost run out of there for Moses. He said, and neither have you delivered your people. Ooh. At all. Excuse me, neither did you deliver your people at all. Drop the mic out of here. God, what's going on? God's response, this is good. I've been waiting to get this one to you the whole message. You know what I'm saying? It's the reassurance of God. Then the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, the Lord, Yahweh, said to Moses, now, you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. Key word, you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand, he will let them go. And with a strong hand, he will drive them out of this land. God said, I'm strong and I'm about to show. Not only, see, God said, I'm done talking. I'm about to manifest my power. Verse 2, and God spoke to Moses and said, look, every situation that you're dealing with right now, God has this. He's saying this. He's saying it to me. He's saying it to you. He says, I am the Lord. Y'all not getting it. Y'all missing it. Y'all missing it. I am the Lord. We gotta hold it in our minds. We really gotta see and understand what this means. He said, I am the Lord. I am the personal God. I am the self-existent one. I am the first cause of all of this. I am the one who set everything in its current order. I am your sanctifier. Guess what though? The name Yahweh actually means redeemer, deliverer. He said, that's who I am personally to you. Not only am I redeeming your soul, I'm redeeming the time, the specific time that you're in right now. It looks crazy. We got different people arguing, factions growing in our nation. God said, I am your redeemer. And I need the body. I need the Christians. I need you guys to zoom out and look at things from my perspective. See it from my perspective. Understand, it's not about you. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your past. I am with you. I am who you need me to be. I am the one who provides. I am the one who heals. I am the one who leads you in the battle. I am the one who leads the host on your behalf. I am the one who you need in this circumstance. And he goes down and he says, I appeared to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob as God Almighty, El Shaddai. That's who I revealed myself as. But by my name, Lord, I was not known to them. And this confused me again because I started flipping back to Genesis. I'm like, I know I've seen some capital O, capital L-O-R-D back in Genesis. And I did. I'm like, Yahweh's revealed all through Genesis. And I'm like, what is God? God, what do you mean? I know God ain't made no mistakes, so I'm digging deeper and deeper. Oh, man, so I had to get down deep. And at the beginning of verse 3, it says, I appeared. He told them his name in Genesis, but now God said, I'm about to show you a new me. I'm about to manifest myself in a new, powerful way. That's his message to us today. I'm about to manifest my strong hand in the world in a way that you can visually see that I'm Yahweh. I am the Lord. Don't ever come at me like that again, Moses. I am the Lord. Andre, I know you're doubting what I'm about to do in your life right now. I know it seems like you've gotten off track, but I am the Lord. Fairhaven, I don't know. I know exactly what's been going on in your church body, but let's not forget, I am the Lord. I know that you have things going on with your grandkids and your kids, and things are just looking crazy, but he says, I am the Lord. We got to look at these situations that we're in. We zoom in for a second so we know what we pray about, and then we zoom out and we say, God, I know you got this. He called us into that. He's calling us not just into a new life. He called us into a new perspective, a new way of looking. He gave us access. Some people, like, they may try, a non-believer, if you don't believe in Christ, you can't do this. This is one of the gifts of the saints. They have all these self-help books. Man, meditate on this. Write this out and affirm these things. Man, God gave us the true solution. If you're a believer and Christ dwells inside of you, he gave you a new perspective. Because faith is the power that ignites that perspective. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. God said, just a little itty-bitty faith, you can say to that mountain, be cast into the sea, and it's going to be cast into the sea. It's our doubt that gets in the way. God, help us with our doubt. Help us to see that you are the Lord. So where does that leave us? Where does that leave us? Is God calling you? Is he calling you to do something specifically? It could just be something small to meet a specific need, and it's just kind of been tugging on your heart, but you feel inadequate. You don't know what to say. Maybe it's a relationship that's been broken. Maybe it's your brother. Maybe it's your daughter. Maybe it's whoever it is. Maybe God is saying, I want you to go to this person, and I want you to let them know that you forgive them. I don't know what it is, but I know that God is constantly working. And if you can't see him working, you might need to get away for a while. You might need to withdraw from screen time. You may need to be obedient to God and take a Sabbath rest every week. Not legalistically, but to make sure that you're in connection with God, because he's always working. He's always calling you. And yes, you are going to have doubts. Yes, there's going to be fears, but God will reassure you. There's going to be some ups and some downs, but when you go down, remember this, take this with you. There's going to be some lows and there's going to be some highs. Remember what he told Moses. When Moses, all he could see was fear. All he could see is that God hadn't delivered. God said, I am the Lord. That's been an encouragement for me, and I pray that it was an encouragement for you. Remember that God is the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your love and for your compassion. I thank you that you are God and I'm not. I thank you that you have all things in your power. I thank you that you're not just some far and distant God who created the universe and you're just watching us suffer. But I thank you that you are a personal God. I thank you that you see everything that we're going through. I thank you that you know the inner workings, Father God. I thank you that you know specifically what to do in every circumstance. God, we reaffirm our trust in you today, God. We thank you and we acknowledge you for everything that you're doing and everything that you're going to do. We pray that you would give us reassurance in our faith. That you would give us courage to do the things that you're calling us to do. Bless us and keep us. In Jesus' name, amen.